Let's turn now in God's Word to John in chapter 19. John in chapter 19, and we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 42. John 19, 1 through 42. And beginning in verse 1, these are the perfect words of God. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. And said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I will bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man!" When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." And delivered he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and in Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." And the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier apart, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots." These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now therefore was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with them. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, They shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrhs and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Those are God's words. At the beginning of chapter 19, Jesus is still standing before Pilate to be tried by him through verse 15, in which you see he allowed his soldiers to mock and cause further sufferings to Jesus with the crown of thorns upon his head and the mocking him as a king, causing him to wear the purple robe. And the Jewish mob still crying out, verse 6, crucify him. And yet, in God's providence, Pilate was led to declare to the Jews, Behold your king. And then through verse 18, Jesus is sentenced, and his execution determined. I actually want to go back to verse 15. How wicked the Jews were when they said at the end, We have no king but Caesar. How many Christians give up their king to follow the government today, focusing so much on Republican versus Democrat or politicians and elections and giving up King Jesus and making the civil magistrate an idol. But through verse 18, Jesus is sentenced and his execution is determined. The title over his head on the cross was written, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, in three different languages through verse 22. And again, in God's providence, it says, the King of the Jews, in which Pilate was not willing to change that. And then as we've been singing in Psalm 22 in the mornings, the dividing up of his garments through verse 24 and the and the casting of lots for his vesture, his robe, and the care he took of his mother in keeping of the fifth commandment to John the Apostle, the one who writes the Gospel of John in verses 26 and 27, and that John would take care of Mary after Jesus died. Something we ought to think about in the caring of our parents and so too our children. Same principle. Verse 29, Jesus thirsting, receiving the vinegar in fulfillment of Scripture. He received the vinegar so that we would receive the wine of blessing. And then his dying words, verse 30, it is finished. And to make sure Jesus was dead, through verse 37, the soldier pierced his side, so blood and water flowed out, and all, so the Scriptures be fulfilled, that his bones not be broken, and that they would look upon him whom they pierced. And the rest of the passage concerns his burial and the sepulchre in the garden. In this passage, you are called and commanded again to believe the gospel of Jesus' perfect life, attested to multiple times, even by Pontius Pilate, who said there was nothing wrong that he had done many times, nothing worthy of death. And so too his sacrificial death we ought to believe. For in Christ alone the work, he says, is finished. It's not in what he has done and what you do. It is finished right there in his last breath. All that is needed for you by the grace of God is turning to Jesus Christ in faith. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Let's pray. Our Father, we give you praise for the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, for us. That in union with Christ, we who are your children have died to sin, and have been clothed now with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, your Son, having promised to us crowns and a robe, royal robe, because we are in union with Jesus Christ, our Savior. Everything we don't deserve is found in this chapter, or everything in this chapter we did not deserve. For Christ deserved glory only, and praises and exaltation to be called the King of the Jews and the King of the Gentiles. And yet here he is rejected, but not rejected only by the Jews, not rejected only or also by Pontius Pilate, who gave in to the Jews because he was afraid, but where we rejected him, that our sins placed him on the cross, so that he, in his love for us, drank the drink of vinegar or bitterness of curses, that we might receive the cup of blessing. He receiving the cup of wrath, we the cup of blessing. And so, Father, we give you praise that you're a gracious and merciful God in Christ your Son. We're thankful for the gospel, and we're thankful that out of your sovereign grace, that it was your will to save wretched sinners as we are, who are deserving of all eternal punishment and destruction. And so we're thankful. Make our hearts feel joy in Christ and in the Holy Spirit for the work that you have done through us and in us for your glory. And may we not boast in ourselves, but boast alone in the cross of Christ. For you and your Son deserve all our praise. And Father, in all this, we pray that you would cause us to grieve over our sin and grant us sorrow by your Holy Spirit over what we have done in rejecting you and rebelling against you. No different than the Jews or Israel in the Old Testament. And yet, Father, thank you. Grant us joy in your grace and mercy. Our Father, affect our souls by your Spirit and do your great work of cleansing your people with the Word and truth. Father, we plead today and ask for the help upon those who are struggling in body again. We thank you that you have answered our prayers concerning Russ and his job situation. That he's able to start working first shift. And we pray that you would provide every need for them, knowing there is a pay decrease. But Father, we ask that you would provide for them and for us all in our lives everything that we need according to your plan and sovereign decree and providence. Father, we plead that you would be with the servants of this congregation and grant us a love to proclaim the truth and evangelize, to tell people of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we would be, as we prayed this morning, not ashamed of the gospel. That you would bring about salvation to Jews and Gentiles, to all who believe. Grant us a love for the truth, so much so that we would be zealous for you and the gospel, that you would cause us to pursue peace, but in the truth, and love, but in the truth, and not compromise according to your truth, because then we would be lying and dishonoring you and breaking the third commandment and not honoring your name. But in that, give us gentleness and kindness and love for our neighbor, and that we would not be overbearing or harsh or beyond what your truth brings in offense. But may your truth be the one that brings offense, not we ourselves. And may you convict many hearts and call them to yourself. We pray for those congregations in our presbytery again, in Westminster and Manhattan and Laramie, that need pastors. We pray that you would provide for them as well. In Houston, the church plant there. We pray for the church in North Carolina, which Levi comes from. And I pray that you would watch over them and care for them, that the word would continue to go forth in boldness and in proclaiming the gospel, and that sinners would be saved. We pray also for our friend and Levi's father, Noah, who will be examined to become an elder in the first week of January. We pray that you would be with him and provide what he needs to know, but also not just know it for the sake of an exam, but that he would believe it with all of his heart, and he would be honest, and you would grant success and provide another elder for the Columbia congregation. And Father, we pray for these, that you would bless our presbytery, that you would bring about a desire to repent of our sins where we have sinned, or at the synod level, that we would repent of our sins where we have sinned, and so to our session here and congregation, that you would turn us from the evil way and the way of idolatry to you, the living and true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all these things we pray and ask for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, that your name would be given all glory and praise, we pray in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.